We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it? I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
Hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. This is your host, Mance Rader. This is episode 99. It's going up on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Evoox, YouTube. It's going to be on my website, freemanbeyondthewall.com, and it'll be on libertarianinstitute.org in the blog section. Take a second to remind you about my book, Freedom Through Memedom, The 31-Day Guide to Waking Up Celebrity. It's on Amazon. It's available for Kindle. You can download it, have it in a couple seconds. There's a very good chance that my new book, which I will announce the name of it in my midweek podcast and exactly what it's all about, will be out next weekend. So check out episode 100. I'm going to have a special guest. I did want to say hi to the people who listen to me in the UK. I've noticed that outside of the United States, Canada was the strongest, was my biggest listening audience for a while. Say hi to the Canada folks. But the UK has come on strong and getting a lot of downloads over there and a lot of listens over there. So welcome. And thanks for listening. Hope you're enjoying it. Today, I'm going to do a solo podcast, another one. And I will have a great interview on Wednesday for episode 100. I think you will love it. And I look forward to doing it. This past week, the Pulse shooter, Omar Mateen, his wife was acquitted of any charges in the Pulse massacre. And things that came out in the trial shed light on what a horrible situation this was, how everybody screwed up, how the media was a joke in this, how law enforcement and the judicial system was a joke in this, how it was just, I mean, what a cluster. I mean, let me get into this. As a reminder, on June 12th, 2016, Omar Mateen, a 29-year-old security guard, killed 49 people and wounded 58 others in a terrorist attack inside Pulse, a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, United States. Remember the phrase, terrorist attack. This is a story about the monster that did the shooting and why, and the trial of the wife. Both of these things have to be taught, the story has to be told together because they both go hand in hand. What follows, what I'm going to talk about, is a perfect look at our culture. We saw the worst from special interest groups, law enforcement, the media. It was a glimpse into not only how people immediately jump to conclusions, but also how they huddle into the collectivist groups, into their collectivist groups, searching to see how this tragedy will benefit them. All of them did this. So what was the media's initial narrative, if you remember? That Mateen hated gay people and planned this attack to kill and punish them. Tim Thiemann of the Daily Beast at the time reported that this was aimed at LGBT people and was a hate crime. If you remember, there was a narrative that he was gay, that Omar Mateen, the shooter, was gay and in the closet, and that this was his way of hiding those feelings because he grew up in a Muslim culture that wouldn't accept them. Immediately, an alternative narrative was introduced that Mateen had become sympathetic to the Islamic State as he had told crisis negotiators on the phone that he was avenging airstrikes in the Middle East and that America was bombing innocent people in Syria and Iraq. But the LGBT activists had already constructed their narrative, leading one USA Today commentator to say, "If this attack was not rooted in homophobia, it is to erase the LGBT community, causing only more pain in invalidating their experiences." The special interest groups just jump right in. Once again, we see that the activist, the person that has constructed their worldview as one that is systematically marginalized and persecuted, which showing no evidence in their lives whatsoever, is the loudest voice and tends to lead the narrative. Fast forward to the recent trial of Mateen's widow, Noor Salman. She was being accused of helping him plan the attack. The narrative was repeated that this was a well-planned assault on a marginalized community. What the trial and the acquittal of Salman showed was that the narratives were dead wrong. Nobody in the gay community wanted it to be true that Mateen did this for any other reason than the story that they were telling. A Muslim radicalized by the blowback of the United States' murderous war on terror couldn't possibly have anything to do with this. Maybe this is why leftists in general no longer care about these idiotic wars. Maybe it was because their hero Obama continued to wage them that they saw them as important, even though that wasn't the story they told when Bush 43 was in office. No, they needed this to be about them. And mind you, if Mateen didn't strategically pick Pulse because of its patrons, that doesn't diminish the horror and heartbreak that occurred there. To my mind, it makes it worse because this is something that would never have happened if it hadn't been for the fucking international mass murder spree to make people in the military-industrial complex rich and to keep Americans scared, believing there's a boogeyman ready to strike if the troops were pulled out of countries they have no chance or intention of winning a war in. Plainly, the Pulse massacre is another battlefield caused by the insane war on terror that has been sold to the public with few facts, and the majority of it is emotion. It's important to look at the trial of Noor Salman because it gives us an insight into the confusion that is sold to us by activists on both sides. Salman's family immediately reported that Mateen had beat her. She would have easily been painted the victim had the victims not been who they were. And activists on their side immediately painted her as a monster. One activist outside Salman's trial held a sign that read, "Fry her till she has no pulse." Never was there a consideration that she may have been a victim of her husband. One of Salman's lawyers stated, "The media missed the story because they depended on the government to tell it to them." Here's a couple facts from Salman's that came out in Salman's trial that nobody's talking about. You didn't hear it on the nightly news. You didn't hear it on CNN. You didn't even hear it on Fox. There was no evidence he was a closeted homosexual or that he was on Grindr. I remember hearing all these things when this first happened. Authorities searched his electronic devices and found no evidence or history showing that he watched gay porn. There were daily, some might even call it compulsive, searches for news on ISIS. Mateen had extramarital affairs. Two women testified that he was very conniving in his ways, that they just didn't trust him. Investigators found no evidence that Mateen had ever been to Pulse or that he cased it in anticipation of the tragic event. They even admitted at the trial, in testimony, that his first target was the Disney Springs shopping and entertainment complex. Evidence was presented that showed Mateen chose Pulse at random an hour before the attack. A security guard testified that minutes before the attack, Mateen asked him where all the women were. He basically walked up in the situation. He walked up to Pulse. You know, he just was looking for a mass of people that he could inflict damage upon. He walked up to a security guard and said, "I see a lot of people here. Where are the women at?" He wasn't looking to punish gay people. That narrative is gone. It doesn't exist. It's exactly that. It's a narrative. On June 21st, 2016, then U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch called the attack an act of terror and of hate. It's a convoluted message that could be taken several ways. She said she would investigate all motives. 7 months later, Mateen's wife was charged federally with terrorism charges of aiding and abetting her husband. No hate crime charges were filed. Let's get this out of the way. The charges against her were so flimsy, had this not been such a high-profile case, they would have never allowed it. No charges would have been brought. An FBI agent handwrote a confession for her after an 11-hour marathon interrogation that was never recorded or filmed. It appears to have been coerced. She allegedly said that She knew Mateen was going to Pulse that night and that they had scouted the location together. A few days later, prosecutors believed this to be false after looking up their communications via phone, text, and email. None of this lined up. The night of the attack, Mateen went to Disney Springs, as well as to Eve Orlando, which is a popular nightclub, but decided against both because of heavy, visible security. Do I even have to mention the other conversation that is happening in throughout this land, that left unprotected, madmen will choose the softer site? And in this case, he did. He went to two places where there was heavy security, decided against it, found another place that, in fact, actually, I'll tell you what he did. After he saw those two places, those two places were heavily secured, he Googled downtown Orlando nightclubs, and Pulse came up. This is how he chose Pulse, through a Google search. There is no electronic evidence that he ever used the phrase gay or LGBT when he was doing these searches looking for a target. If Mateen didn't know where he was going that night, how could Noor? How could his wife? On June 15, 2016, the New York Post cover read, "She could have saved them all." It was total bullshit. They were already blaming. There was already a narrative out there that his wife helped him. Obvious, probably because she's Muslim as well. I guess all Muslims have to be. Isn't that their ideology, guys? Isn't that what I hear some of you say? Although there's no evidence that Mateen ever said anything about jihad or the Quran talks about this. No, he complained about American foreign policy. It's what we've been calling for years, blowback. It's the stuff that Osama bin Laden talked about in his letter in 1996. He didn't mention Islamic jihad as, converting the infidel, slaughtering the infidel, converting them to Islam. No, he talked about American troops in other countries interfering with them. Places that he loved, places that he considered holy. Never said anything about jihad, and neither did Mateen. The prosecutor's case against Noor was created straight from ignorant headlines. All evidence contradicted it, but they proceeded with this circus anyway. I guess the government never saw it as expedient to contradict the narrative of the willing accomplice, although they knew it was false. A vibe amongst the gay community in Orlando during this trial was that there was no way she was a victim. She was guilty. End of story. Signs went up, "We will not let hate win," etc. The gay community in Orlando had no doubt in their mind that the government story was true. Salman was going to be executed. It was a fact. Everyone knew she was guilty. The government had pulled out all the stops to make the public believe that she was a terrorist. She had been granted bail initially, and then prosecutors came in with more and more evidence convincing the judge that this was an open and shut case and that she was dangerous and that she needed to be in jail. So eventually bail was denied. An FBI agent at the trial said they knew within days that she had been nowhere near Pulse. The judge, apparently astounded, stopped him and said, "Wait, you knew within days?" To which the FBI agent answered, "Yes." The judge is like, "Did you tell anybody?" The agent said, "Yeah, I told my superiors." The judge asked for the superior's name, excused the jury, and immediately started lighting up the prosecutors in front of everyone in the courtroom. The jury had been removed, but the gallery was there. It's amazing. The judge scolded the prosecution in front of a courtroom full of onlookers, and it was determined from there on that all of the onlookers never trusted the government's case again. The judge was so mad, he looked at the prosecutors and said, "I separated this woman from her child for 14 months due to false information." I'm normally not a fan of judges, but this judge sounds like he understands justice. And, you know, even if he did allow no bail in the beginning, you know, he sees that, it was wrong, and he's blaming the right people here. You got to celebrate this. It's rare that the government ever loses a terrorism case. When they bring someone up on terrorism, that person is almost always convicted. And it's minuscule the times that the person will walk. This case, this decision, this jury verdict has been called historic. And you haven't heard about it on the evening news. The only article I saw which even gave all these facts, and I borrowed a lot from that article, was on Huffington Post. Then I went and I looked at other, I double checked it in other places, in other sources. And yeah, this is all true. And you haven't heard anything about it. It's really unbelievable. Imagine the manufactured evidence they have used up until now and will continue to use. Just think about all the lies, the stuff that they held back. I mean, they had all this information that should have never been brought up on trial if this information had been put forward. They had it. He told his superiors it was held back so that they could have a dog and pony show of a trial. Just absolutely ridiculous. They did such a good job with this propaganda that even the jury that acquitted the foreman said they still believe she knew what was going on. That's how much the media, special interest groups, etc., have an influence over the narratives that we hear. I mean, they create narratives. They create stories. The Pulse shooting is about blowback from the war on terrorism. We've been talking, some of us have been talking for years that these drone strikes, these indiscriminate drone strikes that Bush 43 did some, but Obama just upped the ante. I think something like, they say something like 26,000 bombs dropped in 8 years, something like that. I'm probably way off, but I mean, just read about it. 7 countries, and 2 of the countries that Mateen mentioned to crisis negotiators when he was inside Pulse. Upon the verdict, Salman's lawyers went outside and berated the press on the courthouse steps. They said, 1.5 years ago, you believed she dropped him off at Pulse. You believed they scouted Pulse together. I really don't like lawyers, but I would have been clapping if I was there. I need you people to understand something. The San Bernardino shooters didn't talk about jihad. They talked about American foreign policy. If you have not yet picked up Scott Horton's book, if you don't like to read, if you like podcasts, the book is in audio form. Scott actually narrates it. Treat it like a long podcast. Listen to that book, read that book, and find out exactly what they're doing over there. The war crimes that are not being prosecuted, the soldiers that are taking trophies, the soldiers that are killing whole families and then planting guns next to them to say, oh, look, they were terrorists. One instance where they slaughtered a whole family because they had jumped up on the roof and the 16-year-old son had shot through, there was one AK in the house to protect themselves. They thought it might be Taliban, some of the warlords' people or Taliban. So he just shot through the roof to scare them off. Well, they slaughtered the whole family. There was a 17-year-old, the 17-year-old daughter. They cut a piece of her neck skin away as a trophy, and one soldier was holding it up and waving it. They killed the mother. They killed the son, they killed the daughter, and they shot 5 times a cousin who was visiting who was pregnant. Somehow she managed to survive, the baby didn't. And when they took a picture of the son, they made sure to put the picture of the AK right next to it. These are invaders in a foreign land. and they are killing innocent people, many times systematically. The Pulse nightclub shooting did not happen because the patrons were gay. It happened because of the war on terror, blowback. Nowhere is there any evidence that this guy talked about jihad. There are other facts in this case, like the fact that his dad may be an FBI informant of some sort, and he also seems to be a lunatic. I don't know, maybe it's in the genes, but still. He gave his excuse. Why do you fight to believe him? He said it was blowback for America's foreign wars. Are you so arrogant? Are you so full of hubris that you don't realize that this is going to come back to us? If a foreign country invaded here and dropped a bomb on your house and killed your family, what would you do? I'll tell you what I would do. I would become a quote unquote terrorist to that invading country. Some here might call, you know, if anyone wanted to join in and fight back, they might call us freedom fighters. We would call each other freedom fighters, but the invading force would call us terrorists, probably domestic terrorists, or another good one, an insurgent. How the fuck can you be an insurgent where you live? Now that you understand the facts of this case, the facts of what happened there, it all came out in the trial, I hope you will start to look at the war on terror differently if you don't already agree with me. I came to this story learning all of this about from the trial. I already agreed. I agree with blowback theory. I don't give a fuck what the Quran teaches about, oh, you have to live your life like Muhammad and do and conquer this and conquer that. There's a billion fucking Muslims in the world. If every one of them understood that, do you think we'd be alive right now? Or do you think even if we were, don't you think we'd be fighting them? I think they'd have a pretty good chance of winning. But if you believe that, if you believe it's all about jihad, it's all about the Quran, it's all about being Muslim, where'd you learn that from? Why don't you know about Osama bin Laden's letter from 1996? Why didn't you know that? I mean, it didn't have to come out in the trial that Mateen had said this. I mean, this came out at the time, but people pushed it to the, I mean, I heard it at the time of the shooting, but people pushed it to the back burner to jump all over the LGBT, the gay, him targeting gays. And mind you, let me remind you that Noor Salman was not prosecuted for hate crimes. She was prosecuted for terrorism. What does that tell you? Look at the reason why he did it. Look at all the facts that have come to light, and you will understand that all of these things are happening because the United States is waging a war on terror where they are killing people indiscriminately. Just a little more from Scott's book. Remember the 700 to 800 people at Guantanamo Bay? All those terrorists? Do you know how many of them turned out to be members of Al-Qaeda? About 24. Many of them were there because they shared the same name as somebody in Al-Qaeda. Many of them were there because they were in Afghanistan and they weren't Afghani citizens. But then again, I know how some of you feel about traveling over borders and how it shouldn't be allowed. Anyway, I guess I'll leave it there. Like I said, I got my 100th episode. It's coming up on Wednesday. I have a very special guest coming along, and I think we're going to have a great talk. I'm going to do my best to ask some great questions, and I think it'll be a good time. So, and tune in, and I'll talk, hopefully I'll be able to talk more about the book, which I'm hoping I will be able to, will be able to be released and purchased next weekend. So, this is Mance Rader of the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. Take care. Have a great week.